we just got done 4 weeks of The River. And I was just trying to make this correlation based on what the Bible says about your life, your walk with Christ. The river's in the Bible and kind of the symbolism there, but really it was what God was speaking to us through His Word. And I'm just going to do a quick review because it goes right into what we're going to talk about today. So here's the 4 weeks that we had on the river. It said, what is the river in your life? In other words, what is the supernatural flow of God's running through you and flowing through you? That was the first week. The second was, what's the source of your supernatural flow? Where are you getting God's power to flow through your life? We talked about two distinct places, the throne and the altar, right, in the temple. Those are places that God wants you to receive supernatural flow in your life. Then we talked about the significance of that flow in your life. Are you making an impact? And is that impact important? Are you making an impact with your life? The impact that we just saw on the screen behind me is the impact that Calvary Church as a whole is making in the lives of people here. That's the supernatural power and flow. Last week we talked about, is your supernatural flow river saturated? Is it saturated? Is it making that big impact? Is it moving? We talked about those four things. So that moves us right into what we're going to talk about here for the next 2-3 weeks. That supernatural power, that supernatural flow, the river in your life, points to two things. It points to your life, and it points to your walk. Your life as a whole and your daily walk in that supernatural flow. What do we do with it in our life? And what do we do walking with it every single day? Right? What is the impact on a everyday level? And what is the keys to that practical living? And today it's going to be a little bit more practical, maybe. Last few weeks it was kind of got a little bit deeper, and we saw some correlations in the Word and some of the symbolisms. But we're going to talk a little bit, not lighter, but I'm going to have you watch how this moves into your daily life, your daily walk. So how do we live is what we're going to talk about today. Life talk is the sermon topic. But how do we live today? How is that? What is my everyday life look like? First of all, I got a question. What is life? You know, you would ask some people what life is, and they'll tell you it's just being happy, it's being successful, it's being whatever. You know, they give you these descriptors, these adjectives of what their life is. You ask a believer what their life is, and they may give you a little bit different description. They may add words happy and successful, which is all fine, but they'll get a little bit more spiritual on you about what that description is. But it all points to life and your walk. Really. That supernatural flow boils down to your life and your walk every single day. So let's move to Genesis 2:7. I think they'll have it on the screen behind me. You know, such a familiar passage of scripture that we'll move right into about talking about your life. How do we live is what we're talking about today. And Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that. I'm sure most, if not all of you, believe that as well. There's a heaven, there's a creator of the heavens and the earth, and God just made life. He spoke it into existence, and man became a living being. And I look at that scripture, and I see two big, important things. I see the word source, and I see the words sustaining. God is your source. Before the supernatural flow in your life took place, which is what we talked about, you had to be created. And God was your source being created. You had nothing to do with showing up on this earth. If if you had something to do with showing up on this earth, I want you to come see me afterwards. Because none of us had anything to do with showing up. There was a source that created all things and placed this into motion. God formed man from the dust of the ground. And then this sustaining word shows up. This word that really intrigues me, sustaining. Life is contingent upon the continuing, sustaining breath of God. If God stopped breathing on us, we would stop existing. It's God that continues to sustain us, and he could say, I'm not going to breathe on you any longer, because the Bible says he breathed life into us, and he could stop breathing life into us. But we know the word tells us the process, and we live by faith and live by the process that God laid out in the Bible. And I don't believe God's going to stop breathing life into us today, but there will come a time where the process will move from the church age, which is what we're living in now, to more of the end age, right? But today we're just being sustained by God. And when God did that, when he made a creation, he placed something inside of us. We call that a spiritual need. So God creates us. He is our source. He is our sustainer. And inside of us, he puts something deep inside of us, and that's a spiritual need. And that spiritual need is a desire to find the meaning of what I'm talking about today, life. He places this desire inside of you to look for this meaning of life. And everybody that sits here today has asked that question. What am I here for? And where do I fit in? I can't tell you how many people have come into my office, not only in this church, but other churches, and saying, Pastor, what is my purpose? I need to find my purpose. I need to find where I fit in. Ministries throughout the country and world, purpose. Rick Warren and many others. Where do I fit in? How do I satisfy this intense spiritual desire deep down inside of me to find my purpose and where I fit in? How does that affect my life? You know, happiness and all those things are fine, but without fulfilling the purpose that God placed deep inside of you, you're never going to have joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. Different than happiness, right? Joy is the connection between you and your creator that gives you purpose and where you fit in. There you find your place. Many people just kind of spend a lifetime looking for it. I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about it and how we can lay some foundation when we talk about your walk next week. So that supernatural flow that we talked about moving in your life affects your life, and that connection, that deep spiritual desire connects you to heaven, but God placed some things there in your life that requires you to take action, and we're going to talk about that. Very practical things. They're very practical. First, we want to fill this spiritual need, this purpose, and what does that require? That requires what we talk about a lot, but we kind of miss sometimes on other things, is you've got to build this relationship with God. And you know, this relationship talk is talked about in churches so often that I just wonder if it's just not glossed over because we talk about it so much. What does that really mean? How does that affect my life? This personal relationship with God. Let's jump to James 4:8. It says, draw close to God and what? If we draw close to God, relationship, what will he do for us? He'll draw close to us. So there's action on our part that we need to draw close to God. Pastor, what does that even mean? And how do I do it? I pray, I do these other things. Yes, those are all important, But I want to jump back to the Old Testament, and I want to show you a scripture of God speaking, and it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here's God's word to us. It says, "Have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is the reason you were created." That speaks life to me. This intense desire inside of me to build this relationship requires me to do exactly what the scripture says. I've got to have a reverence for God and obey his commandments. Oh, that's okay. But see, what we find ourselves not doing sometimes is having that reverence and obeying his commandments. And then we wonder why we struggle in our lives with this relationship thing and this purpose thing. So what's your life look like? James 4:14b and then 17. I'll jump to 17. Here's what the scripture, James gives this wonderful descriptor of me. It's kind of scary. It says, "What is your life, Pastor? You're just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Well, that's encouraging. That's really encouraging there, Lord. I'm just this mist, this vapor. Well, that's what I am. In the bigger scope scheme of things, we are all a vapor that shows up and is gone. And if you are getting a little advanced in age like me and realize what that really means, if you're young, you think you're going to live forever. We all thought that at one point. You get a little older and have a better haircut. You know that that's not necessarily the case. That, you know, time moves real fast. And that scripture kind of pops out a little bit when you start getting advanced in years. You realize, hey, wow, I can't believe it's been this many years so quickly. How many times have we heard that? So fast. What do you hear? Wow, is time moving fast, right? Time is moving fast. And then the scripture goes on to 17. It says something else. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to be doing, this mist of vapor in your life, if you just know what you should be doing during this little time and you don't do it, you're sinning against the Father. So you get this little time span to do something, and we've got to do it. Time is short. And if we don't do it, then God's going to hold us accountable for that, right? So what's this thing about how we should live? I think it comes down to a couple key areas. I think it comes down to a couple, just what the scripture says. It says, how reverent are we to God? And how do we obey his commands? And then do we know what good we should be doing, right and wrong, and do we do it? There's your relationship. Do we have that reverence for God? Do we obey his commandments? And then do we actually do exactly what he wants us to do based on his word? And you know, I start examining my life and I say, well, I did this and I did this and that's pretty good there, but this is not so good over here. And then I start asking myself, well, what about over here? And I start seeing the weaknesses I have in my own personal life, in my life. And I think I could do so much better here. See, I'm doing really good over here, but not so good here. We always kind of attract ourselves to what we're doing good and don't really want to examine the areas in our lives that we're not doing so good in, maybe. We kind of makes us feel good. We're doing all these good things, and sometimes we kind of fall short over here, and I think I need to spend some more time over here. I know what those are. If I don't know, my wife certainly tells me what they are. And if she doesn't tell me, Tim Greaves really gets on me. He tells me exactly what they are. No, he doesn't. Well, you know what they are, right? I'm just picking on you, Tim. You know what those are. So what is the problem? Why don't we just do that? Why can't we just have reverence for God? Well, Pastor, I do. I do have reverence. I do obey his commandments. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think we always do that like we should. Now, that's a heavy statement from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, right? I just don't think we always do that. I don't think we obey. I think that most people do what I have done. I obey sometimes the things that I want to obey, then some of the things over here, I go, God, wait a second. I don't do that, but I know there was a time in my life I did. I would rationalize things that I wanted to do and say, I can do this, and then I would really rationalize the things I didn't want to listen to. That's the easy part. I'll rationalize stuff that I just didn't want to do. Right? I'm not picking on the giving, but Tim talked about giving. You know, Bible says you give 10% of your income. I'm not going to argue the gross, the net, and all that stuff. I just biblically give, you know, do it. And if you don't do it, you miss out. God's going to make it up in his kingdom. He doesn't need our money, right? The blessing, the Bible says, is your blessing, your reverence to God, your obeying of his commandment. It is not God saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to bring the hammer down. He does say, though, you'll just miss a blessing. You'll miss a favor. It's crazy. And then there's so many. I'm not picking on that one. That's just because Tim has said that. But there's so many more. And we start to examine our lives, talk about the spiritual need inside of us to be connected in a relationship in our lives, let those supernatural river flow, and there's some of the roadblocks to the supernatural river. There's some of our daily life roadblocks that keep us, impede us from getting all of God that he wants to give. See, it's not God holding back. It's us putting up a wall and saying, hold on here, I'm good here, God, let the supernatural river flow here, but over here, I got to struggle a little bit there, I don't know. See, we dip our toe in the water on the areas that we know we need help with, but we'll dive into the river on the areas that we're okay with. We'll submerge ourselves over there and say, I'm good. But over here, we're like, you know, right? So what's the problem? Let's jump into the scripture. Let's read something here. In John 4, 46 through 53, and watch something come to life. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, Jesus, where he had turned the water into wine. You know the story. Jesus turns water into wine. And there was a certain royal official that showed up there whose son lay sick back home. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was so close to death. Verse 45 says, unless the people see signs and wonders, Jesus says, hey, unless these people here see these signs and wonders, they're never going to believe. So Jesus is right away saying, you know, I've got to do something to make these people believe, because if I don't do some big miracle, they're not going to believe anyways. In other words, I got to show action before these people show up and they say, oh, yeah, he must have something here. Right? The royal official said, sir, just come before my son dies. See, he knew. His son was dying, and he just knew that was the guy. And Jesus says, your son will live. Now, the royal official knew his son was dying. But he came to the master, and he asked the master just to heal him. Now, he wasn't with his son. His son was back home. And Jesus made this declaration of life. The one man just knew if he did that, his son would be touched. Why? Because he showed up and asked for that. And Jesus makes this proclamation in front of all the crowd that you people want to see me do some big miracle. But the miracle wasn't standing there as far as the child being ill. The miracle for the child was back home, but the official was there saying, just speak it. And I'll accept that. It's a powerful word. Nobody else was thinking that way. And Jesus knew that, of course. Go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Church, there's where we need to live. The man took the word of Jesus and left. He had no idea whether his son was alive or dead. He had no idea what the situation was. He had no idea his son was back home. He just had no idea. He had no idea. He had no idea. But he says, I just took him at his word. And I just took off. All the other people had to see the signs and wonders with their eyes and hear it with their ears. This guy shows up and says, just speak it and I'll leave. I'm good with that. While he was still on his way home, his servant met him with the news that the boy was now living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said, well, yesterday about 1 p.m, that fever left him. Then the father realized that was the exact time that Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. They believed, but he believed before the miracle. His household saw the miracle, just like Jesus said to all the other crowd, you've got to see me do it. They got a double dose. They knew he went looking for Jesus, the official looking for Jesus. And then they watched him get healed before he got back. He was touched by the Almighty before the official showed up and came home. There's some faith. There's some living. There's some deep spiritual connection. We believed it. We went out looking for it. So what's those practical things that we need to put inside our lives just to make that kind of a connection? I just want to give you 4 quick ones before we close today. Just 4 things. They're not big, huge, inspirational things that you haven't heard before. They're just practical things to put into your life to make that purpose, that fit, that relationship, that connection, that you get to this level if we just do the simple things. Ever hear the phrase, if you just lay the foundation? We go on the supernatural river and we talk about it and it flows through our lives. But guess what? If we're not doing the real basic stuff, God can't push through because we put up the roadblocks. And I just want to give you 4 points to allow you to just live. It's not deep stuff. So what are those things? Well, let's talk salvation. I trust that everybody here understands what that means. Every journey has a first stop. It's simply the ABCs. And if you've been in church for any time at all, you've heard this. Accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Believe that he loves you and Jesus died for you. Reckless love, amazing grace. And confess that Jesus is Lord of your life. Your true salvation should be dictated by a transformation in your life. If there's no transformation in your life, and you're still doing the exact same thing you did before, and there's no change, the change might not be instantaneously, but there would be a process of change. My mom always taught me, she would say, listen, you can accept Jesus as Savior, but he's going to take some time to remove some stuff that he wants out. I was 9. I didn't understand a lot of that. I'm 9 years old. I got it when I rededicated my life later, after high school. Then I, wow, now I get it. Now I understand. Why? Because there's a bunch of junk from the high school years showing up. Now I see it. Mom's word came back golden. True salvation is marked by a transformed life. Let's look at the second key to practical living, keys that you put into your life. And I want to talk a little bit about just learning. So simple. Just learning. Christian discipleship takes several forms. It takes something. It takes action on our part. That's why come in the fall, we're going to start adding more learning center classes. You're kind of in a hiatus right now, but we're going to be adding classes. Why? Because learning is critical to fellowship with God, finding purpose, finding fit. Learning is critical. And Bible study is core critical, and it should be in 2 forms. Your Bible study should be regular, and your Bible study should be systematic. Well, Pastor, I understand the regular part. Well, regular is just do something, right? Do something. But systematic is the area we struggle with. And systematic is, I'm going to put together this process, this program that places the word in my life on a regular basis. I'm going to call somebody out here right now because I'm so impressed with it. I hope she doesn't get upset with me. But, you know, Diane puts on Facebook a lot, which she does every single morning. Wave at me, Diane. You're loud. Thank you. I'm not allowed to do that during a service, but she'll be okay with me, I hope. And I read it. I don't make comments to it, but I see she does it almost every single day. She has got a regular time in the Word, and it's systematic. It's some ungodly hour, like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. before she goes to work, right? No one's up at that time unless you got to go to work. Randy is, yeah. So you should be reading that, right? Great. See? It's a systematic approach to putting the Word of God in her life. But what she is doing is she's giving a systematic approach for other people. And there's two people right there, the pastor included, that sees that and reads it. Randy is one. You know, so there's a that's what you want. It takes a form. It takes a regular effort, which I'm going to tell you something, church, we're really good at. I think we are. I think we're good at a regular effort, but I think we struggle with the systematic approach. And that's actually fulfilling the process that we put down that we're going to do this every single day or every single evening or whatever that, you know, every single year, the beginning of the year, these people make these what are they called? Resolutions. Thank you. You know, of course, we never even follow those resolutions, but a lot of them in the church is, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. You know, that's great. That's the regular thing that I'm going to put together, but the systematic approach is executing on what you're going to do. All right, think about that for a second. Regular church attendance under their learning side. Showing up for church. Three reasons why I think we need to be in church. Okay? First, and not necessarily in this order, is the sermons. Not in order. Why? Because the Bible talks about insight in the preaching of the word. I hope and pray, as I do every single week, that there's some insight, some golden nugget that one of you gets from a sermon that I preach. If only one. My wife and I live by the saying in our home, if only one. We live by that. If we could just reach one person with a music or with worship, the worship and the word, if we could just reach one person, it's worth it. Fellowship. Surround yourself with godly influences. You know, we've got enough ungodly influences in our lives. We need some godly influences in our life. And that's what we do in church. Corporate worship. See, you have to put the word corporate there because people say all the time, I can worship at home. I can worship here. Yes, but the Bible says that when you come together, the fellowship of believers, and you worship together, you know, God does something different than he does in your personal life. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people, especially in this atmosphere. There's power when we come together in corporate worship. And what does all three of these things allow us to do from the learning perspective? Minister to others. It allows you to be equipped to go out and minister to others, which is really, your service to the kingdom is really where God's looking for you to be. Doing something for the kingdom. See, we could do all this back to the inflow and outflow on the river. Everything coming into you on the inflow gets bottled up, but when you do the outflow and you minister to others, then your life is flowing. That's where your life is affected the most, right? Number three, there's this word I like that's called yearning. Four practical reasons to get that relationship back with God. Yearning. Every human created is created with this yearning or hunger for intimacy with God. It's this strange phenomenon. The closer we get to God, just like we read here a few minutes ago, the closer we get, the closer he gets. See, God's always waiting for us and knocking. It's us that has to take the action. And when we take the action, we get closer because he draws close to us. And now this yearning, it just gets bigger and bigger. If you don't have a yearning for God right now, you might be back at the salvation point or the learning point. You want to have this yearning for a deeper walk with Christ, right? Just practical things. Here's something for you. The more we have of him, the more you want of him. And if you're sitting here today and you don't understand what that means, the more I have of God, the more I want of God. I mean, church, the more I have, the more I want. It's crazy. The deeper I get, the deeper I want. The more word I hear, the more word I want. The more I study, the more I want. It's just a crazy supernatural thing that happens. But guess what? I had to start that sometime. Our youngest son, who's back in the sound booth, I don't need to call him out, but he's been reading the Word quite a bit lately, and he asked for a different Bible. We got him a different version Bible that's easier to read. And what's he doing? He's saying, I don't mean to pick on you, Brendan, but he's saying things like, I don't understand that scripture. But guess what? The Word is getting in you. You may not understand it today, but you'll understand it tomorrow. But you would never even know it existed unless you picked up the Word and read it, right? There's got to be a yearning. Number 4 point says, here's where the rubber meets the road. On just practicalities is burning. Giving ourselves to service to God, the greatest joy comes in serving God. That's the outflow. I get greater joy serving the kingdom than the kingdom or anybody serving me. That's why we always hear that thing, it's better to give than receive, you know, in the natural. People talk about that, especially on the holidays. But in the kingdom of God, it is such a blessing to me. And I know our ministry team and most of you feel the same. To bless others. To give. Right? To give. Giving ourselves to service to God. That's why when you walk in the door and you see all the renovations, somebody is doing something. When you see so many salvations in 6 months in this church, somebody is doing something so God can move supernaturally. Something's going on where we're doing something to give ourselves to somebody else, and there's the result. There's a burning desire in my heart. There's a burning desire in my wife's heart. There's a burning desire in the worship team's heart. There's a burning desire in people in leadership. There should be a burning desire in your heart to do something for Jesus today that you didn't do yesterday. And if you don't have that burning desire, you're probably back in one of the other learning or salvation. You want to be living in this burning desire to do something for heaven. Pastor, I do too much. I get burned out. I want to talk about burnout. That burnout's real, but let me say a quick commercial about burnout. Now, I'm not going to get too deep on this because there's such practicality here of burnout. I've been burned out. But what I have found out in my burnout, and Pastor Dave kind of keeps me on track as best he can, because that's what Pastor Dave does when you get to be older and wiser, and as all the older and wiser, you know, older and wiser, says, Pastor, you know, I know I'm in trouble. I'm out to lunch with Pastor Dave. He says, Pastor, I know it's coming. Right? I know it's coming. This is what you got to do. But here's something about burnout that I've learned. I found in my personal life, I don't know about you, but I found out in my personal life that when I get burned out, and it's real and it happens, when I get burned out, I find myself sometimes leaning more on my personal energy and not on the power of the supernatural river that's flowing through my life. I find myself leaning over here on the natural side, trying to go with my inner, not everything that I have inside of me to live there, and really God saying, no, you need to live over here. And I do a whole lot better when I live on the supernatural side when it comes to burnout. I get rejuvenated a whole lot quicker when I'm living on this side. And I find myself doing the very practical things. And I have this saying in my personal life. I don't know if I've ever said it to Pastor Dave or even my wife. But, you know, I think I need to go back to the basics. So I reevaluate in my prayer time. I say, okay, I got to go back here and start doing some of the basic things. I need this intense burning for God. I need to learn a little bit more. I need to live on the supernatural more than I'm living on my natural. I find myself living, I get burned out, I live on the natural more than I should be. I should be over here on the supernatural. There's how it affects me on the burning side. There's how I find myself rejuvenating faster. That's why our movement has so many conferences for pastors. That's why our movement believes if you need to get the pastors away and just let them rejuvenate and supernaturally rejuvenate. Because God's supernatural rejuvenation happens in seconds when the natural takes years to take. Get you right? Those are, church, that's just practical things in your life. And I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward as we wrap up today. And next week, we're going to talk about the walk. Today we talked about how to live. Next week we're going to talk about how to walk it. Is that our worship team's coming? I just have a few questions for you. I just pray that something speaks to you. I just have a couple quick questions. I want you to really reflect on this morning. Do you have a reverence for God and do you obey His commands? Because that is exactly where the rubber meets the road when it comes to God. Do we have a respect, an awe, a reverence? Do we obey His commandments? Is that what we're doing today? You look at your life and you say, I got all these situations going on. I take myself back to the basics and I ask myself, yeah, pastors ask themselves this. Am I obeying everything He's told me to do? You know, a lot of times we find out that no, we're not. God told me, spoke to me to do this thing, and I'm not doing it. And I know that I know that I know that I'm supposed to do this. And I'm going to give you a couple of those for me. Okay? Just for me. This is me. God spoke to my wife and I about coming to Calvary and renovating a building next door. Not because we have 300 people in service, because that building can hold 300-400 people. But that's what God said. And I find myself sometimes saying, God, are you sure? Because things are just not aligning like I would think they would align. And God, is that, you know, and God comes back to me and He says the same thing He always says. Why do you think I'm changing my mind and why are you not obeying? That's a heavy response from heaven. I say, God, okay. And then my wife comes back in the natural and she says this to me, the great encourager in my life. She says, Brad, when it's all said and done, and God is moving like the church has never seen Him move before, or at least a new season of movement, they'll all look back and say, there's no way that we could have done that without God. It's too big. And I see some things that have happened this past week and I say, wow, that's impossible. In the natural, but not when you live on the supernatural. You jump into the river. So church, I'm just going to continue to obey the commands of heaven and let God be God, right? Here's another one for you. Do you know the good things that you should be doing and you're not doing them? Has God laid something in your life that says you should, this is good here, this is bad here, and why aren't you doing this? See, the Bible says that's sin if you don't execute on the good, whatever it is. I start asking myself the same thing in my life. Okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? Am I not doing something that I should be doing? Is there a good thing here? Is there somebody I should bless? Is there something I should do? God, just speak to me. And when I was preparing this sermon, and I'm diving deep in the Word, I'm just praying, saying, God, is there something here I'm missing? Is there something I don't want to sin because I'm not executing on what God says to do in the Word? If you know there's something good there you should be doing and you're not doing it, that's sin. God just revealed that to me. I got to know. If that's you today, You've got to do what God's called you to do. And you know you're sitting here right now, and inside your spirit, God is speaking to you. He's telling you, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to challenge you to leave here today and just start doing it. Whatever that is, it's between you and God. Where are you today, church, in your life journey? Where are you today? How many would say, no hands necessary, just between you and God this morning, how many would say they're aflame, burning in their service to God, just on fire, no stopping you, you are on a mission? How many would say that they are just in the yearning stage, hungry for more of Him, looking for more of Him, and willing to go down that road? No hands, just between you and God. How many would say you're in a learning stage? You love Him. You're just learning how to live for Jesus, and you're just getting started. But I'm going to give you the all-important question here in a second. Then I'm going to ask you now to bow your hearts, bow your eyes, bow your heads. Because here's the question, the foundation of it all. You can't go anywhere without this. So if you would bow your hearts, bow your heads, close your eyes for me. I'm going to ask for a show of hands, because here's where we live. The very first practical point I talked about was this, and I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to make a life change. To start the process. How many here would say you are going to turn your life over to Him and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If that's you, please just put your hand up. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Once you put your hands up, you can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'll give you another minute for the person that's just having a terrible time right now, wrestling with God. I'll give you a second here. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's all pray this prayer together and just agree with the five people that raised their hand to turn their lives over to heaven and make a new start today. Let's just believe with them and pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today humbly, and I ask you, Lord, to invade my life. I turn my life over to you and want you to be my Lord and Savior. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to save me. In your name, amen. Five people just confessed Jesus today, church. Somebody should get excited. Somebody's on a journey today. It's not 27 commitments to Jesus now in Calvary Church. It's now 32. Why? Because you serve a reckless God with amazing grace. Stand with me and let's sing as we close.